I'm originally from Arkansas, just to give you a yeah, suey, you know. Go Hogs. We're always awful. And so that's where I grew up, started my ministry career there. Long story short, God's taken us through a long journey. Been in ministry for about 17 years, been married 14 years this year. Got a 9-year-old little boy that's the size of a middle schooler, and he's grown really fast. And I got a 11-year-old little girl that's the size of a fourth grader. And so it's really funny. She's always like, "Why does everybody think I'm the youngest?" I'm like, "One day you'll love the fact that you're the smallest." "Well, I want to be the biggest today." I'm like, "I promise you don't, honey. You don't want to go to school and somebody be like, 'Well, how are you, big girl?'" And you just don't want that, you know? And so she's super funny and the best kids. And we've been doing ministry for the past 16 years, so I feel like I'm just getting started. We've had the chance in a long run of ministry to do some pretty cool things, to being a part of some different stuff, from Arkansas to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tulsa, Oklahoma, I helped start a church. It's now one of the fastest growing churches in the United States, a place called The Church At. And they call it The Church At for The Church At Battle Creek, The Church At Midtown, The Church At. They're in Chicago. And so they're a multi-site church and got 6 or 7 campuses and growing. And we watched a youth ministry grow from 7 with 0 volunteers to about 300 within 3 years. And so God did some pretty cool stuff in the midst of Tulsa. And then through the journey, we caught ourselves down here in Katy, Texas, hanging out at the West Campus of Second Houston. And we were super blessed to be a part of it. Had a lot of fun. I got to be the chaplain for the Katy Tigers. I was telling that story to other, you know, at dinner. I didn't even realize, by the way, Texas football, like I'm just a redneck from Arkansas, right? We don't understand what high school football's like until you come here. I know this has nothing to do with my talk, but so I call Coach Joseph when I move here, because what I'm talking about in here is something I practice in my own life, is having a huge focus on the community. And we can't just be a ministry that takes care of students on Sunday morning, right? If we just show up and say, "Here's you some donuts, have a good day, see you next Sunday," then your group is not going to be successful. You're not going to build disciples, and you're not using the best of use of your time. You're really wasting your time as a volunteer. And so we teach people and train people, and I'll walk through some of that in a moment. But I call up Coach Joseph, and I'm like, "Hey, Coach, you want to go get a steak?" And I'm just saying, you know, I didn't realize, like, big time high, like he's a college football coach or something. And so he said yes. And I'm like, "Well, I didn't even think it was that cool." I was like, "All right." Lunch with coaches all the time in my career. And so we go eat lunch, and during lunch he asked me to be his chaplain for his football team. And the first game he's like, "Hey, I got you a couple sideline passes." I'm like, "I don't need those, coach. I'll just walk down there." He's like, "Not in Texas, you know, you're in a different league." I'm like, "Man, it's fine, coach, just take the, all right." And so, you know, I get in there, and we had such a good time, and God did some really, really neat things to that ministry, and watching a bunch of them get to be a part of it. And Coach Joseph was so gracious to allow me to be a part of it. Matter of fact, I told him after my first year, I said, "Coach, I need every one of your players to go to camp with me." And which, again, I didn't know, like, high school Texas football, like, they're not allowed to do anything in the summertime but lift weights and go to football practice. I'm like, "Get a life, son." And so I told Coach Joseph, I'm like, "These guys need more than just football," which is like, you know, like, I'm gonna choke here. And again, I didn't know. I didn't know you're not supposed to say that to a Texas football coach. And so he goes, I'll never forget, we walk out of his office, we walk out in the field, he goes, "You're right." And he gathered up the boys and he said, "Brian, come here." And I knew all of them because I'd been their chaplain. And we got together. It was the month of May, and we're sitting there. And he goes, "There's 3 things I think you boys need this summer. I want you to focus on your mental strength. I want you to get mentally stronger in the game of football." He said, "I want you to focus on your physical strength. If we're going to be the Katy Tigers, we got to get stronger." And he said, "3, I want you to focus on your spiritual strength. And Brian Mills is going to tell you how, and all of you are going to go to camp with him." Yes, you know. And so sometimes you can just be a good old redneck from Arkansas and get away with the impossible, right? And so so I've had such a good time in Houston. At Long Hollow, Got to lead over 400 volunteers. We had the privilege to watch a youth ministry grow from 500 students to a little over 2,000 teenagers. And just saw, I mean, it was just God-sized stuff, right? You will get to the end of this talk and say, there's no way that dude led a youth ministry that big with that big of a staff. And you're right. I don't know how it happened, but God's favor does crazy things when you're just obedient, right? When you just step in, you get involved in teenagers' lives, huge things happen. And that's what I want to talk to y'all about. I want to encourage you as volunteers. Man, you guys are given time. You guys are busy. Most of you have full-time jobs. You're working 60 hours a week. You're spending, you know, 12 hours in a car a day because you live in Houston. And so you have the crazy life. Well, then you got your own kids. If you're like me, my son plays AAU basketball. He plays travel baseball. I mean, we're every weekend we're somewhere and we'll play in one league and then we're going to play in another league. And life is crazy for you. Life's crazy for all of us as volunteers. And so how do we get to the point as volunteers that we say, we're not just going to invest on a Sunday morning, but we're going to invest during the week? And I was really challenged by this when my first ever job was at Cross Church Springdale. If you keep up with Southern Baptists, where Dr. Ronnie Floyd, our president of the Southern Baptist Convention, is. And my first job was working for that dude, and which was super intense. But one of our youth workers was a guy named Donnie Smith. Donnie was executive vice president of Tyson Foods. He's now the CEO of Tyson Food. And I lived with Donnie. I lived in his pool house when this was pre-marriage. And then I got really close to him. I'm still super close to him today. I bring him in to do things like this for me often to train. But he was one of the best youth workers I ever had met. And I was sitting in his office one day. I said, can I just come to Tyson? I'm like 22 years old, right? I'm like, can I come to Tyson just see what you do? He's like, well, I'm going to sell grain tomorrow. Why don't you come watch? I'm like, that sounds awesome. I watched him play on his computer all day, right? And so it wasn't near as awesome as it sounded. But he sold millions. I mean, he spent millions of dollars. So I thought that was cool. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, Donnie, you've got all this going on here. And you got this crazy life and you're on the way to be the CEO of this company. How do you give so much time to student ministry? I mean, he had teenagers at the time. And I said, do we need to take, and I asked him this question, I think he almost hit me in the throat. I said, do we need to take things off your plate? And he looked at him and he said, if you want great leaders to work for you, expect them to be great leaders. And he said, you're expecting me to be a mediocre leader right now. Don't ever expect me to be a mediocre leader. I'm like, yes, sir. You know, I got you, coach. I'm 22 getting, you know, blessed out by the future CEO of Tyson. But here's what he taught me. Great players hang out with great players. The A team hangs out with the A team, the B team with the B team, the C team with the C team. And so I decided at that point, as a leader and as a minister, I'm going to raise my volunteers and I'm going to build the A team. And I'm going to expect huge things out of them. And I'm going to lay it out for them, but I'm going to do it in such a way where they can do it within their lifespan. And so that's what I want to give you today. And that's what I want to help you out with today. And I want to do it by talking about what it means to be a shepherd. Because at the end of the day, each and every one of you are the shepherds. Now, you might say, well, isn't that the youth pastor's job? Matter of fact, here's the way I'll give away my gift card tonight. All right, I got a gift card to give away. What is the job, according to Scripture, of a pastor? First one wins $10. It'll get you half a movie. All right? Unless you go at noon, which, right? Matinee. Lead a sheep. Lead a sheep, all right? I'm looking for something else. You're right. I mean, it's hard to get it wrong, I guess, but. Protecting, leading the herd. No. I mean, that's, yes, but I'm looking for one thing. It's out of the book of Ephesians. Woo! But you can't win because you're a staff member. All right, Ed. Ed, I need you to fill this out so they can get reimbursed for this.
All right.
Tax purposes. Any tax fee? I'm just coming up March, and I mean, we got to get some tax stuff handled here at the church. And if you don't do that right, the business office will call, and man, these guys will be, it'll be miserable for them. And so you business leaders understand that well. Open your Bibles to John chapter 10. our job as ministers is to do what? To equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. To equip the saints. So if you are well equipped to do the work of the ministry, then you understand that the minister's job is not the one who should be responsible for doing all the discipling. The minister's job is not the one who should be responsible for even doing all this discipling with the students and connecting with the students during the week. His job is to love on you guys. It's your job to love on students. People ask me all the time, how did you lead a ministry with so many volunteers? Well, we broke it down. I call it Jethro's principle. If I had another gift card, I would say, who knows who Jethro is? And you, I would give that away. Y'all know who Jethro is? Moses' father-in-law? And you remember the story? Who? Jethro Odin. Hey, I know that guy. I live in Tennessee. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, looks at Moses. He's leading millions of people, right? And he says, Moses, man, you're trying to do so good in Exodus chapter 18. But he says, you're jacking the whole thing up, brother. You're killing your family. You're not even seeing your wife and kids. He didn't say all this, but I'm sure he did, right? And he's giving him a good talk. And then he breaks it down on how it should look. And he puts, some should be over tens and over 50s and hundreds and thousands and et cetera. And kind of puts an org chart in place. Y'all understand org charts. And so he puts an org chart in place. Well, I believe there should be an org chart in ministry. You've got your pastor, right? The pastor over your ministry who's going to invest in his leaders and maybe even leaders upon leaders that got to invest. Your small group directors who are going to invest in the small group leaders who are going to invest in the students. And if you do it in such of a way, the ministry can never stop growing. I really believe God's only going to give you in a ministry of what you can take care of. Why would God give us more than we can take care of? And if I understand this ministry right, God could bless it just nonstop because of the people and the volunteers and what God's doing here has been extraordinary in the first place. And I follow Justin like a hawk. Anyways, I think he's one of the greatest youth pastors in the country. And so just following he and his team and what God's doing here, I honestly think you got one of the finest guys. And believe me, I get to meet a lot of them, and there's a lot of idiots, and he's not one of them. All right? John chapter 10. Let me unpack. Yeah. Hey, listen, it's just my opinion, all right? This is being recorded, by the way. Can we keep this offline? John? John chapter 10. Let me be sure I'm staying on track because I want to give you a lot of meat here. And try and unpack some of this along the way. You're to be a shepherd. And so what's it look like to be a shepherd? Well, shepherds feed the lambs and they feed their sheep. Shepherds bring them to good pastures and lands and water. They groom and they clip the sheep, which I hate grooming and clipping. I don't know if any of y'all got small dogs, but I paid to have my dog, you know, groomed and clipped, and I'd rather pay to kick it in the mud. It's a little Yorkie, which if any of you have one, you understand why. The thing just bites people, right? They deliver new lambs. Shepherds deliver the new lambs. Think about that in the church. I mean, the old church, Jesus understood, and he knew his culture understood so well this image of shepherding because there were so many shepherds. And think about the delivering of a new lamb. Now think about that in the context that you have. Somebody on Wednesday night comes and gives their life to the Lord, right? And then what happens? And they give them to the small group leader and say, hey, this person just gave themselves to Christ, and I want them in your small group. And then if you say, you know what, I'll text them here in 3 weeks. I'm too busy. And at the end of the day, nobody's too busy to send a four-second text, right? So proud of you for giving your life to the Lord. Can't wait to see you in my small group. How can I help be sure you get in my small group, right? That's easy. Let's not make ministry too hard. Believe me, I can't. I'm from Arkansas, all right? There's no way I can overcomplicate this thing. And I don't believe Scripture did. I believe Jesus unpacks it right here in John chapter 10, and he lays this whole thing out, and this is what we're going to look at. Leading them and teaching them to stay together. The shepherds going off after the wandering, the lost ones who they disappear. We're going to see all this through this, all right? So let's read it. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. By the way, let me say this. There are thief and robbers coming after your students. All right, I'm not going to linger on this, but I want to pause on it, that the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's using all kinds of things to come after the students that you're in care of. And if you're not loving on these kids during the week as much as you are on Sunday morning, I'm telling you, they're going to fall captive to sin. And when they fall captive to sin, they're not going to turn to you because they don't have a relationship with you outside of one experience. And I'm going to break this down for you, by the way, on how simple this can really be. But it is imperative for us to look beyond just a group and do ministry as doing life together. I believe when you do life together in the church, you have a ministry. When you just do church, you just show up, you see it as a duty, you check the box, you go home. That's just doing, I did church today, right? When I'm involved in ministry, I'm doing life with those around me. And so we've got to do life with these students because the thief and robbers are coming for them. And I don't know about you, I could sit up here and talk for 2 hours and tell an hour and a half of stories of kids I've watched fall and nobody picked them back up. No shepherd went after that one lost one. No shepherd turned around and said, man, I know that one's not coming to my group, right? And I got to go get them. And so we got to be careful with that. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. That's us. The gatekeeper opens the gate, which he later defines as himself, Jesus. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. I am just an illustrative person, so I circle and underline things in Scripture when I read and unpack Scripture along the way. But you got to think, Jesus is talking to these people that really understand this image that he's portraying to them, and the sheep listen to his voice. You know why the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice? Because they know his voice. Now listen to me. For a student to know your voice, a young lady or a young man, that means a few things got to happen. You got to be consistent in coming, right? I think you got to be consistent in contacting your kids during the week. You know, a big way that I think you can do community ministry, ministry outside of Sunday morning, is connecting with your kids throughout the week. Matter of fact, I can give you a quick plan. That if you did this right here, I'll give you a 4-step process. If you did this right here, it will take you about 2 minutes for the entire week, and you would contact them 4 times. That's pretty easy, right? Let me give it to you. On Sunday, you know what I would do? And I used to tell all my volunteers, on Sunday, the kids that do not show up, the sheep that have wandered astray, that do not show up, the prospects on your small group role or the other kids on your role, that role is not there for you to check off so that everybody can have something to do on Monday morning. That role is there so that you know who comes and who does not come. Listen, ministry is not about a number if it doesn't have a name attached to it. We need names attached to numbers because when you get a name attached to a number, you got a story attached to the name, and it is our job to know the story. And if we got a wandering off sheep, then we've got to pay attention. So every Monday or every Sunday, why not sit around your table and say, you know what? John, man, he's not here. Let's all text him. Hey, John, we miss you today. Next week, John didn't come back. Hey, John, we miss you today. He'll probably, you know, every now and then John is lost, right? And he doesn't have very good language or respect for people. And so he might drop something on you. You know, you'll run into those kids, all right? It doesn't mean you have to get mad at just texting the next week. Hey, John, missed you again. Just want you to know you're always welcome at Houston First Baptist. You're always welcome, right? And you just text or that one kid that you know they're gone on vacation that week. You know their parents took them on a trip, but they still get a text from you as a small group leader. Hey, we just want you to know we missed you today. Does anybody ever mind when somebody notices when you're not there? You ever mind if somebody texts you and said, hey, I know you didn't show up today. Just know we're thinking about you. Does that just tick anybody off in the room? Can't believe somebody's thinking about me. It's just stupid. Hate this church. Really? Right? It doesn't make sense, does it? Believe me, listen, that's a community of students is all on their phones. Monday, if you're spending time with the Lord, which is another conversation, every Monday, you ought to shoot a text out of a verse to your students that you're just, hey, here's an encouraging verse for you this week. Right? If you can't find one, just Google best verses to sing kids. All right, and just start sending them down through there. All right? Find, you can find a way to do this, right? I would encourage you to spend time with the Lord every day and send them one you're spending time with. But if all else fails, just Google one that day. All right? And send an encouraging verse. Here's a verse. And listen, if you created a group text with your group, that's however long it takes you to text. For some it's quick, for some it's slow, but that's all it takes, right? Most of the time kids aren't going to respond anyways. Sometimes you ladies, y'all could get in a long conversation by text, but no dude in here is going to get a response. I mean, you just think the kid don't even have his phone, right? And so that's Wednesday. Here's what you do Wednesday. To your group text, respond and say, man, I hope to see all of you at church tonight, and I'm praying for the friend you're going to bring. I'm praying for the friend you're going to bring. Now, don't say you're praying for it unless you actually say a prayer for it, but it's not hard to take a moment to pray for it when you're sitting in traffic, right? You're praying for the person in front of you you're ticked off at, and then you're praying for your group. And just, Lord, man, bless these boys, bless these ladies as they're inviting somebody at school today to come to church tonight. You know what that does? It refreshes their mind. I've got to reach my friends on my school campus. That's not just trying to get those kids to church. It's trying to teach them evangelism. It's discipling your students to say, hey, this is about your campus. That's a community effort. And you can do that from your place of employment during your lunch break, right? And then on Saturday, your Fort Texas Saturday, can't wait to see you guys tomorrow. Now, you can personalize those how you want. Now, those are four texts, right? Three of them to an entire group, one of them to everybody who missed that week. Very, very simple. And I'm telling you, those sheep will begin to know your voice. They will know this. They care. And if they know you care, then it's going to make a huge impact. And so the sheep know the voice. They listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. He knows their names. It's important to know your kids' names. Get rid of the buckaroo and buddies, right? Well, we can't just keep calling, hey, buddy. That's what, you know, Justin's supposed to do. He's supposed to walk up and go, hey, buddy. But you're supposed to walk up and go, hey, Jeremy, how are you? Matter of fact, you should say, huh? You're like, how does he know my name? It's on your shirt. But I might know Jeremy. I'd be like, Justin, man, Jeremy, let me tell you about him this week. Man, this dude, we were praying. He asked me to pray for a test on Thursday, and I wrote it down. I prayed for his test. He texted me and said he made an A. Stud. You know, or, I don't know what you're saying, but that, you know what that says? I know my sheep. I know them. And you're bragging on him. You know what Jeremy says? He knows me. He knows me. Most kids today don't grow up in a home that they're encouraged in or loved on. Most of them are walking in the house, and mom and dad is just beating them up. And I'm not blaming mom and dad. Are struggling too. I mean, dad had a long day at work. Mom might have been a stay at home. Might have been working like a dog out here, and she's come home, and everybody's just mad. Get in there. What do you mean you made a C on it? Well, I thought we started. And, you know, everybody's just a yelling, and then it's time to eat some peaceful dinner, and then you start yelling again. You know, it's like going to church on Sunday morning. Well, why'd you put that on? Get out of the, hey, how y'all doing today? You know, it just, we have these moments, and kids are just in rough life. Well, when they see you, they should see that other adult in their life. I'm praying for McKenna and Parker that they have a you in their life. Because if they have a you in their life and they know you know their name, when they're mad at me, they're not turning to their friends who are giving them 14-year-old advice. She's turning to her small group leader and saying, I'm ticked off at my mom. I pray she tells that to her small group leader one day. Because then her small group leader can say, well, why, honey? Let me tell you maybe what your mom was thinking. Because I understand, because I'm a mom. And sometimes this is hard. And life's hard, you know. I'm just telling, to a teenager, changes everything. And so it's community. See how this begins to help within community and reaching out during the week, all right? And we can take this way a step further in a minute. So the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. He leads them out. So he goes out with the sheep. Now let me say this. It is imperative, I believe, for small group leaders to get involved in their kids' life and get your family involved in the kids' life. And so I want to tell you about a lady named Jean Jennings. She's a vice president of her company in Nashville, Tennessee. Incredible lady. Her and her husband are just two incredible men. He served in worship ministry. She served in student ministry. And she's that small group leader. You know that one that always has that table that everybody else is ticked off at because it's so much better than your table. And so she brought stuff and it's all decorated. And she would contact her kids. She followed our contact plan. And she contacted her kids every week and got her kids there. But then I'd show up at a girls' basketball game to go watch these girls play. And she's in the stands. And she might only have one or two players. And then these girls are carrying these little bags with them back to their locker room. And so I stopped one of them one time and I said, "What's the bag?" And she said, "Oh, Miss Jean got it for me. That's just a good luck tonight at the game." And I'm like, wow, now that is impactful. She didn't say, "Hey, let's sit in the stands and let me pray over you before the game." She said, "Hey, here's a little goodie bag. I don't know what was in it. I'm scared to ask, you know, because it's all girl stuff." And so I didn't even want to get into it, but it meant the world to that young lady. Now, guys, that's not even necessary for y'all to do, right? You don't bring a goodie bag to the boy before the football game. That's not going to work out well, right? I'll tell you what I used to do with guys, and I trained all of our volunteers, guys, to do, set in the stands. Even if it's just a quarter, and during that quarter, hey, man, I'm texting while he's out there getting a big hit, or even if he's sitting on the bench or wherever he's at, he's playing in the band, texting, hey, I saw you at the game tonight. Man, that was a great hit, or you look good down there, or I'm proud of you. Hope you had a good night. And you might have to leave after that quarter. You might only get to spend a half, and you might be sitting in your house, and you might say, "Honey, do you want to go to that game tonight? We can really only stay a quarter. Is it worth going?" The answer to "is it worth going" is yes. I cannot tell you. I wish I had time, and we got to wrap up in a minute, and I'm not even halfway done. But I wish I had time to tell you stories of kids who, man, I'm talking their small group leaders sitting in the crowd, winning favor with them, and them bringing their friends to small group, and them winning their friends to Christ at small group because their small group leaders sat in the crowd. I mean, I could tell you stories for hours of that. Now, I'll tell you, we told our small group leaders, do it as a family. If you're going to go to a game, take your kids and everybody. And then, when you're at the game, sit with their parents. Get to know mom and dad. You want to grow the church? Just go watch a game and sit in the crowd with mom and dad. You sit there two or three times, the mom's going to lean over to her best friend over here, right? And I don't know what they're talking about. The dads are over here and the moms are over here. Who's that? Who's that couple that always comes to watch your kid? Oh, that's their small group leader. What? A small group leader at church makes that much effort to come? We got to come to y'all's church. I guarantee there ain't no other church doing it. There's not another church. You tell me other people out there working that hard for the kingdom of God. And that's why we do it. Because it's about Jesus. And we put this effort into being a small group leader into our community. Now, some of you might even have time to look at Justin and say, "Hey, I'll go to a school campus with you, or I'll connect with you. I know y'all were just talking, and you said, hey, call me, and I'll go with you to that school you're trying to reach some people at." You might have some extra time in your life, and you might be able to do that. We had a group of stay-at-home moms. They looked at me one time and said, "What can we do during the week to help you?" I said, "We're trying to feed a team. Could y'all make a meal for this team once a week or once a month, and we're going to feed an entire football team?" And they were like, "Well, sure," they didn't want me to say that. But they're like, "Sure, we fed a team once a month because of these ladies." And they just got committed to it, and they were fired up, and we figured out a little way to help them financially. And they just went to work, and they fed this team. They just started having a heart for the ministry, and the ministry started being a ministry to the community, not just in the community. And that's when you know you got a church, right? When it's a ministry to the community, not just in the community. It's one thing to be a business in a community. It's another thing to be a minister to the community. And the church cannot be a minister to the community unless the people are doing the ministry. And that's the key to student ministry, is for us to get out there and to lead them out. All right, verse 4, "When he was brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him," which is another word I circled, "because they know his voice." Again, we're back to them knowing his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. Did y'all hear that? Don't expect the kid that never comes to church to come to church and be fired up to come to your small group if you never followed up with them. Don't expect the kid that missed 4 weeks to come back. Y'all ever had a friend, surely y'all have had some people within y'all's neighborhood or something that stopped coming to church and they made the statement to you, well, nobody contacted us. And they're just mad people, right? I mean, they're just bitter, and we understand that. But in essence, you've got to look at them and say, man, I'm sorry. May we never have to say sorry to another student because we didn't reach out to them or pass them at a football game. You have no idea how powerful it is to look at a kid. If you know your sheep, right, and you walk by a kid at a football game, it's awesome because they'll turn their head from you. Just pat them on the shoulder and say, hey, good to see you. I'd love to see you at small group sometime. And then keep walking because it's going to be super awkward for them because they think you're preaching at them, right? And that kid's going to keep walking. That moment, that kid will probably show up Sunday. And you're going to go, wow, this, it works. And I'm telling you, people ask me all the time, how'd you grow a youth ministry the way you grew it? Number one, I say it wasn't me. It's a favor of God, always. Number two, we built a team of people that believed in ministry. We built a team of volunteers that said, we're going out into this community. We're going to love this community. We're going to love them where they are. And if you got teenagers, if you're parents of teenagers in the room, it makes it really, quite honestly, a whole lot easier. Because you got to go to games anyways, right? But you got to go sit there and watch, you know, the girls cheer and the boys play, or your son in the band or whatever it might. You got to go there anyway. So why not make the most of it? Why not really get after it? I used to love recruiting volunteers who had teenagers. Because they're at the game anyways. Why not make the most of it? And think as a minister while you're there. And I hung up on sports, but remember, this has to do with band. It has to do with gymnastics. It has to do with cheerleading. It has to do with, you know, go to the play. Y'all ever go to the school play? Sometimes they're awesome. Sometimes they're not. Right? But always, I've never seen someone come off that stage and be disappointed that one of their small group leaders went. Matter of fact, I almost always see it on Instagram. Always. Look who came to my... Man, thanks so much to Mr. John for coming to my my play tonight. Because they want to brag that somebody actually came to the play versus the sporting game. And it's a big, big, big deal. It's really awesome to see. And so I want to encourage you, right? As we get to the end of this, they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Always be the voice. Always be the voice that your sheep know, and get to know them outside of this room. And I know you're not all ideally in this room, but y'all get the point. Get to know them during the week. Love on them during the week. Let me give you one more example. Is with a prayer request. Everybody should take prayer requests on Sunday mornings. But don't just take a prayer request. Write it down. Put it in Evernote. Put it in your notes on your phone. Whatever note feature you use within your phone, unless you still have one of those flip phones, then get you a journal, right? And write it in that and do your deal, however you do it. But write down the prayer request, and let's go back to Jeremy here. If he's really got a test on Thursday, why not shoot him a text Thursday morning? Hey, just thinking about you, prayed for your test this morning. Whoo, son, that Jeremy is not missing small group Sunday. He's not missing it. You know why? He don't care about no Bible study. He cares nothing about what's in here. He cares about what's in here. And because of his love for you, he will listen to what you have to say. And that is discipleship, I believe. I believe discipleship is doing life together and coaching along the way in biblical truths. And we set it up, and we set up this beautiful discipleship model of loving people right where they are and then challenging them, right? It's like a good comedian. He's going to set up the joke and he's going to hit you, right? Same thing. We got to set it up through relationships and then give them God's word. And when we give it to them in truth, in biblical truth and conservative theology. And we'll be okay, right? That's a lot. Y'all tired of me talking? Yes, you are. All right? Listen, I really do love y'all's ministry, and I'm crazy honored to be a part of it. And I really do love Justin, and I'm not kidding. I'm not just saying it because he's here. I really think it's one of the finest. And so you really got a great opportunity to do something unique in Houston, and that's really cool to see. So any questions or anything before we're done? I know we're out of time.
No, you're good with time, so you're good.
Oh, we are good with time?
You got
quite a lot. Oh, well, I was hurrying.
You're good. You did good.
Sorry. Yes, sir. If you don't have kids or family, you got all kinds of time, son. Get out there and start loving on kids. You got plenty of time. Ask any parent in here. I love single people. They're like, well, I'm out of time. You ask a mama if you're out of time. You ain't out of time. Get to work. Well, you can't take one if you don't have one. You just go. Take the, I'm just kidding. I don't even know. You're like, this dude's a jerk. Just go. Have a good time. Get a group of your boys. Say a group of boys. Don't play in the game. Hey, y'all want to go to the game with me tonight? I'm going to the game. Y'all want to sit with me, hang out? And then meet their parents. I'm telling you, big key. Any parent in here will tell you. They love to meet who's investing in their kid. Any parent who cares just a little bit. It doesn't matter. I mean, I know I got a real close parent to me. His daughter came to our ministry, gave her life to the Lord. He's an atheist. Outspoken atheist. He, if you follow my Instagram, his name's Scott McFadden. He'll post sometimes a very comment on one of my Instagrams just signifying I'm still an atheist. But here's the thing that he did. He loved me. He would do anything. He would take me out to eat lunch once a month and buy me a really nice meal. And just gracious, gracious, gracious guy, because I got to know him. And I loved his daughter. And we took care of her, and she had a good small group leader. And I would sit with him in the stands, Hendersonville High School. I'd go watch basketball, and she was a cheerleader. And I'd sit with he and all of his little, lost group up there. I like to network myself into the weird crowd. And so I got amongst this guy, and man, started meeting these people. We started seeing a bunch of them give their life to the Lord, by the way, a bunch of the parents, and it was awesome. But we also just started building relationships. And man, it's cool. I mean, praise the Lord, so meet the parents. All right. Sorry, Jeremy, I was picking on you. Yes, sir? Scared to ask me a question, aren't you? Sorry, I shouldn't have done that.
Ready for this.
Cash it in.
Like,
yep.
You want it, it's time to have a conversation with the kid that's going this direction. So you realize this is what's at stake.
Mm-hmm.
How do you coach?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think we could do a whole seminar on it. I always go back to God's word. I always try to center everything around it. I go back to Matthew 18. And if I have relation equity with a student, and I've done this a lot, and sometimes it's gone great, sometimes it's failed miserably, but I'll still contact the student and let them know, hey, I'm just praying for you. I just did this, matter of fact. I have a relationship equity with a boy named Josh. And let me tell this illustration. This might help, and I think small group leaders do the same. And Josh has gone off the deep end. He graduated high school. He was passionate, winning people to the Lord. Now he's saying he's an atheist, and he's out here living with a girl, and he's just messing it up, and he blessed out his mom the other day, and I encouraged his brother to punch him in the nose and just give him a good black eye for it. And I know that's not very spiritual, but sometimes the flesh has got to come out so you can get the spiritual in, right? And so he needed it. You shouldn't be blessing out your mama, And so so I call him, and I didn't know if he'd return my phone call, but I called him and said, hey, I'm going to drive to Nashville, and I want to buy you a nice meal. And I took him out, and then at the meal, I said, tell me just what's going on. Tell me your story. I've heard everybody else's story about you. Just tell me what you got going on. Man, he started telling me and started opening up, but I didn't want to just leave it there. So at some point, you got to take it to the next level, right? And if I'm a little confrontational. I'm sure y'all didn't think that sitting here talking to me, but I have a little I'm a real type A personality. So it's not going to be as hard for me as it is to be someone over here who's a lot more grace-oriented. But so I broke it down with him, and I just really confronted him on the issue. I confronted him on this text message he sent to his mom. Matter of fact, I had the text message, and I rolled it across the table, and I said, "You send this to your mother?" And he got a little teary-eyed, and I said, "I got to be honest with you. I encourage your brother to come and kick your tail." And I still think he should. That's what I told him. I said, I wish he would. He's just too nice. But I wish he'd come take you out. And he's kind of laughing. I'm like, "I ain't kidding, you know. Don't you treat your mama that way." But he started getting it. And then we started talking about his faith. And he's still running from the Lord. And I texted him the other day. God just gave me a verse for him, and I texted him that verse. I said, "Man, I prayed this verse over you today. Know that I'm on your team, and I love you, but I don't agree with what you're doing." And so I think when you confront the kid, you love the kid. All right? So confront, love. Confront, love. Confront, love. And man, sometimes you guys are going to be able to do that better than the youth pastors will, because you got more relationship equity with them. They care what you have to say. They will not act like it in the first conversation, but they do care. So don't miss out on the opportunity to love them, but love them. And be sure you shoot them a text later and just say, "Hey, I truly do love you." I've had people tell me they love me, and they really don't, you know? And the reason I know that is because I can tell, and so can kids, man. They see through stuff, and teenagers are crazy. This culture we got today is, whew, man. You remember youth ministry 10 years ago, the good old days? Whew, son, y'all remember those days? Man, it's so much easier. But we are where we are, right? And we need people to love these kids where they are, but we do not need people to accept them where they are. I would say this: kids have enough friends. Don't be your small group leader. Don't be your small group's friend. Be their leader. There is a difference between leadership and friendship. And it requires, all this is leadership. Friendships could be like, "Hey, it's all right, buddy. High five. You know, you went to a party. It's cool. You're going to come out of this stage one day. Don't worry." No. You need to come out of this stage. And I love you. Now, if you go get wasted, call me. I will come get you. I'm going to drive your butt home, but I'll come get you. And I'll take care of you, and I'll help you out. But this isn't okay. You know, and they need to know that too. So I don't know if that answers that at all, but I think you got to follow Matthew 18. If you see it, confront it. Don't gossip about it. You want to kill your small group? Gossip about them. Right? So.